It's so good to be back. Let's pray together. Father God, you are holy, blameless, worthy of our worship, worthy of our thanksgiving, worthy of our praise. You are worthy, O Lord. And we thank you for this time to be able to declare that you are worthy from our lips, from our hearts, from our hands lifted high. Father, we praise your name. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you thanks today. We ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, that your Spirit would move, continue to move in our midst, that as we open the Word, that the Word of God would come to life to us today. That God, that we would be so positioned right now to hear the Word, so that the Word implanted would do something new, something fresh, something alive today, Lord. We ask that you'd be glorified through it, as you have been through this service. I ask in Jesus' name that you would move in a mighty, mighty way. And I ask these things in Jesus' name and for his great sake. Amen and amen. Thank you. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 16 through 19. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. You know, I believe that the greatest Thursday of the year is upon us. I've celebrated 56 Thursdays of Thanksgivings in this life. The first 21 years of my life, we celebrated with my maternal grandparents. We traveled wherever they lived on that Monday from New Orleans, and we came home on Friday, and we traveled to Florida, Biloxi, Mississippi, Albany, Tifton, and Stone Mountain, Georgia. And when they moved to New Orleans, we celebrated there. And sometimes we all caravan to Gulf Shores, Alabama, where we celebrated the best Thursday of the year. Then when John Ann and I married, we did New Orleans every other year, and then Houston or Longview the next. Family, friends, fellowship, food, traditional food of turkey and dressing, Thanksgiving, an American tradition, one day a year to rejoice, to pray, to thank God for his bounty, his blessings, his providence, his mercy, his grace, his provision. And we can wake up on Thursday morning and say with the psalmist in Psalm 118:24, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Amen? But you don't have to wait till Thursday, because today is the day the Lord has made. It's the day to awaken with great thanksgiving in every form, in every fashion, in every way, because of who we serve, the living God, Jesus Christ, the living God, the living Word, the great Shepherd, the Prince of Peace, who is Counselor, Wonderful, who has done so much for you and for me. That we extend thanksgiving to every single day of our lives. Whether it is seemingly a bad day, a ugly day, a hard day, a day that we don't like, the day that might be lost, the day that we might struggle, the day we might hurt, it may be a fantastic day, it may be a day of promotion, it may be a day of financial boom, it may be a day where something significant happens in our kids' lives, our family's lives, our children's lives. Yes, every single day, no matter what's taking place, no matter what's happening, you and I can say thank you because of who he is, what he has promised, what he has done, and what he'll continue to do in the lives of his church, his family, the church of the living God. Amen? Amen. A few years ago, we were struggling with some things. We were struggling personally. I was struggling. I was hurting over some things in our lives. It was a time that was just one of those seasons that were hard. And as I began to come out of that season, it was during October when I celebrate birthday. Oh, can we celebrate my birthday? And for years, about a week or two before, or even a month before my birthday, I'd go buy a new journal, and I began thinking and reflecting over the last year. And I began to ask God, these are the things that I'm asking you to do. These are the things that you've put on my heart. And so from the time I was 17 until this time, that time, and even now, I've journaled. Journaled speaking of the things that God's done in my life, the things that are hard, the things that are difficult. I'm just bearing it all in those journals. And, you're just going to have to read them when I die, okay? And one year I came and bought this journal. And if you open my journals, and there's a ton of them, you can look in the back and you can see all the things that I prayed for that year as a man, as a husband, as a dad, as a pastor, as a friend. Just things that I've asked God to do. And I'm going to tell you this, God has done amazing things in our lives through the years. Things to record, things to give witness to, things to praise God before. But this year was a little different. Coming out of this hard season, still a little bit things going on that just are uncomfortable. Things that I was surprised about, shocked about. Things that was just tough. It was tough. And so this year, I just asked God, God, what would you have me do this year? I don't feel like doing my list this year. It's become so rote. I just need something fresh. And over the next couple of weeks, I began to ask God, God, these are four things that I'm asking you to do in my life over this next year. And it had to do with how I was going to respond to life, whether it was good, whether it was bad, whether it was beautiful, whether it was ugly. And the very first thing I asked God to do in my life was to put me in a position that no at that moment that I was going to thank him. I was going to thank him in it. It was going to be the default button of my life. To thank God for the good, for the bad, for the ugly, for the beautiful, for the things that are hard, the things that are easy, the things to celebrate, the things to mourn. I was somehow going to thank him in every circumstance. The second thing that I asked God that I would do is that I would love him. The second thing that I would do is that I would confess that he is Lord over every moment, over everything that's going on in our lives, over everything that's happening, whether good, whether bad, whether ugly, whether beautiful. I was going to do that. I just said, God, I need this in my life. I just somehow know that I need this to be able to point to you in moments of crisis and in moments of celebration. The third thing that I asked God to do, that no matter what was happening in my life, I just wanted to love well. I wanted to love my wife well, my son and my daughters well, my grandchildren well. I wanted to love you, the church, well. I wanted to love to the people that God, that we have promised that we would go to. By the way, if you've come in the last 16 years, you've come to a church that's made promises to God of what you've just seen when we set apart these folks. I, as a pastor, we as a church have made promises to our God. And I just want to tell you, I want to see it fulfilled, the promise fulfilled. I want to see that happen. And so I was asking God in those days, God, I just want to love well. When it's good, when it's bad, when it's hard, when it's difficult, I just want to love well. And the fourth thing I asked God to do, God, I just want to walk by your Spirit. Those four things that I just journaled in the back of my journal, or in the front of it, on those opening pages of that year, and I began to do something. It took me 6 months to get off the thank you. Well, I've never gotten off the thank you. But to move from thank you to you are Lord. To move from thank you to your Lord. And began to share some of those things with you. Some of those things that in a message like this, that I've decided that I would thank you in it. I would thank you for it. I would thank you for all the things that you're doing in the midst of the struggle, the midst of chaos, in the midst of uncertainty, but also in the midst of the great work of God that he was doing in my life. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, "Rejoice always. Be glad always." Verse 17, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. 19, do not quench the Spirit. I moved from those days and thinking and just daring myself to thank God when it was bad. Things that don't make sense. Things that are hard. Things that are difficult. Bad news coming. Bad news speaking. Bad news there. To say in the moment, you say to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and to thank you for everything. In everything, give thanks. You know, it's a wonder that Psalm 118:24, when he says, "This is the day the Lord has made, let us rejoice and be glad in it." Do you know what he's talking about there? Do you know what day of history he's talking about? Go on and let go of 1 Thessalonians and go to Psalm 118 and notice the context of this great thanksgiving that we are to give. Verse 19, Psalm 118, verse 19. "Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I'll enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord." This is the gate of the Lord. It's a gate of righteousness, my friends. It's a gate of thanksgiving. The righteous will enter through it. "I shall give thanks to you, for you have answered me, and you have become my salvation." Notice what he's saying. Listen, when you're moving through the gates of heaven, when you're moving through the gates of his presence, when you're moving in through the portals, so to speak, the openings of his presence, make sure you are giving thanks. It's what we do as believers. We adore him. We praise him. We thank him. We give thanks to this great God. It's the gates of thanksgiving. It's the gates of righteousness. Verse 22, "The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Do you hear the context? We can say, "This is the day the Lord has made," and we can say it so become so familiar that we miss the context. And the context of "This is the day the Lord has made" is the true Black Friday, which we know as Good Friday. It's the day that the builders rejected Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. Now that was a dark day. That was a hard day. It was a day of denial. It was a day of beating. It was a day of nails being driven into hands and feet. It was a day when God took your sin and my sin and laid it upon the Lamb of God as the perfect sacrifice for you and me. And when you're looking at it from that point of history and not understanding it, it is a hard day, a dark day. It is a day in history where the sheep are scattered. It's a day when you look at Jesus and his ministry and you look at this cross that he's dying on. He's dying on this cross, and it just seems from a world's perspective that it is doomed and it's failure. He didn't accomplish it. I mean, look at the cross. Thousands of people who gathered around him on daily time, weekly. Now there was just one disciple, his mother, maybe an aunt, maybe a cousin, a few women, one disciple. He died. He died in the presence of just four or five people, and he touched thousands upon thousands upon thousands. "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." Why? Because he bore your sin. He bore your grief. What looked so bad, what looked so dark, was really the sacrifice, the payment of his blood for your salvation. It's the day that the enemy, that Jesus' foot came down and crushed by his blood, the head of the enemy. This is the day the Lord has made. You know, Scripture is really good about taking a look at bad days and showing them that in the end, they're not so bad. That God does something miraculous through them. Do you remember when Joseph was sold into slavery? Thrown in the cistern? My, what a bad looking day. But that day became victorious as God plucked him from the cistern, watch this, and flung him to the throne. 14 years, probably. 7 years in slavery, 7 years in jail, but God was doing this in the midst of it. He was pulling him out of that dark day to make it a good day, in the sense that one day he would go to the throne and he would save his entire family from famine. So that when they came, when the brothers came and he revealed himself, he said, listen, don't be angry at yourself. Forgive yourself. I forgive you. You didn't send me here. God sent me to save your life. God did that. Isn't it interesting that something so evil as trafficking your brother into slavery becomes a most important act in the grand scheme of God's dealings? Isn't that interesting? What the enemy makes for evil, God does good out of it. Therefore, we can say today, we can say tomorrow, God, this is the day that you've made. I will choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Jesus said this. Jesus, or the writer of Hebrews says this. Listen, when Jesus is facing the cross, when he's facing the beating, when he's facing this horrible day that the builders rejected this cornerstone, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. I'm not talking about did he laugh? Did he giggle? Did he have such a great attitude and spirit? Woohoo! No! There was pain. There was anguish. There was hardship as he bore your sin. But for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, so he could sit at the right hand of the Father and send his Spirit into your life to rule and reign forever in your heart, my heart, and our hearts corporately together as the church of the living God. And I want to say this, that God paid the price for you. I want to tell you, in God's economy, ultimately, there's no bad day. Do you remember your bad days? You may be having one right now. Hard, difficult. But how did you get through it? You got through it by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the comfort of God, by the peace of God. And that peace surpassed it all understanding. And you know, you don't want to go back to that day. You don't want to relive that day. You don't want to go to another day like that. But you sure wouldn't take it away. Amen? Amen? Amen. So why not look at that right now? To say, God, I will thank you. I will give you thanks. I will rejoice always. I will pray always. And I will thank you always. Not just on the greatest Thursday of the year for those of us who live in this great United States of America. I believe when you look at this passage of Scripture, Paul was saying to a persecuted church, a suffering church, and yet in their persecution and suffering are thriving in so many ways. And it's just not one day. It's every day. It's always rejoicing, always praying, always thanking God. Now, let me tell you a couple of things about this passage of giving thanks. Giving thanks in everything, what does this mean? The word giving thanks in the Greek, and you know I don't throw a lot of Greek around, but I want to throw this one around because it's a powerful word. The word is eucharisteo. Eucharisteo. If you got the notes out front, you got these on your notes. Eucharisteo. The word "eu" means good. Have you ever heard of a eulogy? Word "eu" is good. Eulogy. Eulogy comes from the Greek word "word." Eulogy is a good word. Okay, right. So just to give you kind of a concept, eucharisteo. It means this is what he's saying. He's saying it's to be grateful, and it's pointing to time and place. He's saying, and the word charis in the middle of this word, eucharisteo, is the word grace, favor. And when you look at it, it's saying, you're saying, good grace. I've got good grace. Thank you, Lord. I'm giving you thanks. I'm giving you thanksgiving. And I've got, possess good grace no matter what's happening, no matter what's taking place. Do you remember when Paul said, Lord, I've got this thorn in the flesh. It's hurting. It's struggling. I've got this messenger from Satan. He's buffeting me. And I've asked you 3 times to take it away. And what did he say? God says, no, I'm not going to take it away because my grace is sufficient for you. For while you are weak, you're really being strong. Charis, grace. And Paul says, oh, if you want to say it like that, let it keep coming. Because I want to be strong. Even if it means being strong in my weakness. Eucharisteo, it means to give thanks. The word in means that you give thanks by, you give thanks with, you give thanks every time, all things, whatever God's doing, whatever is happening, in everything. Whatever is happening. Ephesians 5:20 says, always giving thanks for each and everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. And then he says this in this passage, for this is God's will for you. This is what God wants you to do in whatever you're facing. The things that you're going through, God has allowed. He's willed it. Did you know Job did this? On some of the worst days of his life, you remember that story? God says to Satan, he's the greatest man in the East. He's righteous. He's a righteous man. He's got great integrity. He holds fast to my word. He's the greatest. There's none like him. And Satan says, well, let me just get after him and we'll see how great he is. And God says, okay, you can do whatever you want to do. Just don't take his life. Satan takes away his wealth, takes away his animals, takes away his servants, and he takes away all of his children. And the Bible says, in all these things, he did not sin with his mouth, but he tore his robe and he fell to the ground and he worshiped. And he said, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. James will go on to talk about what great faith this man had, what great patience he had as he moved through the hardest days of his life. Not saying that he enjoyed it. Not saying that it wasn't hard. It was difficult. Not saying that he didn't grieve. When he was hit with sickness and boils, he was a sight so ghastly that his wife said, hey, why do you hold fast your integrity? Just curse God and die. Death is better for you right now. No. We will accept this because of who God is and what God is doing in our lives. We will bless him in good. We will bless him in bad. We will thank him, worship him. Bad circumstances does not change your position. It should never change your position as you face the living God and worship him forever. Amen. So we thank God. We thank God in everything. We thank him forever for everything. And I just want to tell you, in this journey for a few years, I thank God for things that you would think I'm nuts for thanking God for. Things that don't make sense. And it was almost like, I don't know if I can thank you for that one. And it was a strain. It was a hardship. But God said, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. This is God's will for you. This is what God's doing. This is what God's working. He's working in your life. And it's just the command of God. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. And I want to stop here for just a moment. And I want you to bow your head right now, just for a moment. This is an invitation. We're eating today. We've got to get them ready to eat. So prepare for us. But it's going to be a little long today. Not too long. Think about it. What is it in the last day, last week, last month, last 6 months that's been really, really good or really, really hard? I want to make a challenge to you right now. And you can say it like this. Lord, it's been hard. It's been difficult. And I don't like it. You know you can say that? I don't like that. But you say, in everything give thanks. So right now, I am thanking you Some of you are able to say for it right now, so just say it in your mind, heart, thank you for it. Some of you need to be just say in it, I thank you in it, and that's okay. But God, right now, right here, I thank you for it. I thank you in it. Do that for me. Do that for God right now. Holy Spirit, living God, I want to pray that in our thank you right now, to the good, to the hard, to the difficult, that you'd begin to shine through with your plan. That you begin to shine through, Lord, with your goodness and mercy. That you'd be able to open up into our minds and our hearts the things that you have for us as we thank you for this difficult thing, this good thing, this hard thing, this ugly thing, this beautiful thing. God, it doesn't make sense that this guy is asking us to do this morning. But God, your word sometimes doesn't make sense to us in our finite mind. And so right now we'll depend upon your word and we will thank you right now for what you are doing. God, I pray in Jesus' name that we will see the power of thanking God for everything. Amen. Now I tell you, there is power of thanking God for everything. In this Thanksgiving journey I've been on the last few years, I was thinking about just what does this has done for me. And you know, I read a book that some of you have read. About 3 or 4 months after I started preaching this, Jennifer Bow introduced me to this book. It's called 1,000 Gifts. And I read it. And it was about a homeschool mom who decided she was going to write 1,000 things now to thank God for. And for a couple of months I didn't pick it up, and then I picked it up and found some really great insight to it, some of which I'm speaking to you about. And it just resonated. I began to say something like this: supernatural things happen to those who thank God for everything. Supernatural things happen to those who thank God for everything. Now, she said it a whole lot more eloquently. She said, "Thanksgiving precedes the miracle." I thought, that resonates with me. I've been seeing it. I've been seeing it in my life, the things that I've been facing. Let me just tell you just a couple of things what God showed me, what giving thanks for everything does. First of all, it reminds you of who you are. That you are a grateful child of God who believes in, trusts in, and accepts God's plans for your life. That God is good and He's always good. Even if bad things are happening, that God is generous, faithful, who gives good gifts to His children and has plans for grace, favor, and generosity. It woke me up to a new dimension of who I am in Jesus Christ. I am a child of the living King. You say, you've been preaching that for years. Yeah, but sometimes it can become rote and not fresh. But it became fresh to me. The second thing I saw, that it was the vital part, I was a vital part of spiritual warfare. A vital part of spiritual warfare. Let me just tell you how that worked. I began to thank God for the event. Thank God in the event. And all of a sudden things began changing in my attitude. We're going to talk about that at the end of this message in about 3 minutes, 4 minutes. But it began changing my heart on perspective and what I'm supposed to look at. And all of a sudden I saw, in a new, fresh way, how we can get to a place where we're walking in victory just by rejoicing always, praying about everything, and thanking Him for all things. It turned my heart to see and to participate, and the third thing, to be a witness of great and mighty things. Thanking God for everything caused me to, it reminded me of who I am in Christ. It reminded me that I'm a vital part of spiritual warfare, and that whatever I'm facing, I don't throw up my hands, I throw up thanks. I throw thanks up to Him. It's the garland, it's the wreath that says, God, thank you. And I realize I'm not only His child, but I'm a soldier in His army. Began to witness great things here in people's lives like never before. Giving thanks in everything points to Jesus. It just points to the grateful God that came in the flesh, that gives you movements of peace and life and contentment. A third thing that I noticed, that thanksgiving reaps miracles and blessings. It reaps miracles and blessings. I began to see that when you looked at Scripture, and this book, A Thousand Gifts, gave me some thoughts to this. In sickness, 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17, verse 11, they get healed by Jesus, and one comes back and returns and receives salvation. John 6, Jesus gives thanks for 5 loaves and 2 fish and feeds 5,000 men and their families. So in sickness and in hunger. In Jonah 2:9, after 3 days in the belly of a fish, Jonah finally gives thanks and the fish spits him to the shore. So I think in sickness and in hunger, in confinement, there's nothing probably worse. I'm telling you what, I'm a little claustrophobic when I get stuck. And I can't be imagined getting stuck in a fish. But when he gives thanks after 3 days, something miraculous happens. Spits him out. In John 11, at the tomb of Lazarus, who's been dead for 4 days, Jesus gives thanks and Jesus says, "Lazarus, come forth." He's at the grave. So folks, in sickness and in hunger, in confinement, even at the grave, we give thanks. Now, I want to tell you this. I've heard this story about this older man. He's in his 80s, almost 90s. His wife and him had been married for 65 years. And she died. And left him. Which if you're a guy, you don't expect that. You always expect that you're going to go before anybody else. And he was heartbroken, but he was a believer in Christ. And they went through all the arrangements that you make for a funeral, and went through the funeral, and went to the grave, and they got back, and of course they had the little meal together, and he got his children together. He said, "I want to go back to the grave." He goes back to the grave. And all these memories flood. He's at the grave of this wife, the wife of his youth, who've raised kids and seen grandkids and great-grandkids, and now they're great-greats. And this is what he says at the grave. "Oh, it's been such a good day. It's been a good day for us as a family. And it's definitely a good day for her." I walked away from that story and I thought, that's how I want every day to be. A good day in Jesus. Listen, I know we're flesh. I know we're not perfect. I know we're not there yet. And I know we struggle. And I'm not saying quit struggling. I'm not saying quit that. Sometimes we grieve. But even in our grieving, we can say, because of who God is, it's a good day, and I'll thank Him for it. And I don't know if you've been a part of this, that when we plan your dad's funeral, your mom's funeral, or a funeral that I'm a part of, what I'll say to you, and I'll say it to you when it happens, and if it happens, and I'm supposed to be the one to do it, I'm saying, listen, I believe that in the end, we'll come to the end of that day, and we'll be able to look back and say, it was a good day. It's a good day. A good day of memories. A good day of life. A good day of worship. A good day of thanksgiving. And I want to tell you, that's what made that good day for that man. Why? Because he pointed his heart and his eyes toward the eternal, and he refused to keep his eyes on the temporal. That's what thanksgiving does. And that's when miracles happen. I mean, think about it for just a moment. I don't know this man. I don't know his name, but I'm telling you his story 5 and 10 years later. And I think with all my heart and believe with all my heart that even at the grave, things happen. In Luke 22, Jesus gives thanks for a broken body, spilt blood, and salvation is offered to the whole world. Always rejoicing, always praying, always giving thanks for everything positions you one step closer to where God wants to bring you in this life and in the life to come. And I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you. I want to say this also before closing. thanking God for everything, in everything, changes your perspective. It unlocks the fullness of life. It turns what we have into enough and even more. It turns denial into acceptance, chaos to order, confusion to clarity. It turns a meal into a feast. It turns a house into a home, a stranger, an enemy into a friend. It makes sense of our past, and it brings peace for today. That's what it does. And I want to challenge you today. See, I moved past the 1,000 gifts, and I'm recording 10,000 reasons. And I'm on 2,500 and something of the things over the last 3 or 4 years that I'm thankful for. Some of them have your name on it. Now, I've repeated a few. But I want to challenge you this week to do this. You don't have to start it like you don't have to buy a journal. But what I'm asking you to do is to take the next few days and at least list 100 things that you're thanking God for. And allow God to move in your life when things might go a little awry. They might go a little difficult. They might be hard. That may be number 12. Number 12, God, this is a hard one, but I thank you in it. I thank you for it. It may be number 18. It may be number 15. You might be going through a real crisis on one day where something's happening that's made you uncomfortable. Thank God in it. Just thank God in it. I know that that's hard. I know that that's difficult. I know that that might not make sense, but I want to tell you this. The Bible says, in everything give thanks. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a man of the word. But I want to tell you that God is in control and that He is Lord. Don't wait till Thanksgiving to give thanks. Do it now. Name it. List it. Celebrate it. And see what God might absolutely do. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you're doing. We ask God in the name of Jesus that you'll continue just to bless this word throughout the day and the week. And that, Father, as we come to the end of the week, we can look and say, I just didn't thank you Thursday. I'm thanking you every day of my life for the good things, for the hard things. Trusting that you are Lord today. Trusting that I'll love well. Trusting that I'll walk by the Spirit. I pray that you'd empower us to do just that. And I ask these things in Jesus' name and for His sake and His glory. Amen and amen.